Blog Talk Radio.
Become Freedom Sports Talk Show on this Monday afternoon, January 25th, currently 70 degrees. Glad to have you guys on board, wherever you are and however you may be. We appreciate you listening right here in Orlando, Florida. Lots to get to on the program today: AFC and NFC title game recap, Patriots Broncos, Panthers Cardinals, NBA headlines, NFL headlines, Royal Rumble recap. All this on the Ken Freedom Sports Talk Show. Live call-ins at 661-449-9904. Email us at kbsquare@gmail.com. Follow us up on Twitter at KDOA79. Also on iTunes, go to search, type in the Ken Freedom Sports Talk Show, Google at KBRM79, Pinterest, and also Tumblr as well. Hope you guys had a great weekend. You guys are up in New York. Hope you guys are okay to go to work. Not that much snow shoveling out. Interesting weekend. Super Bowl 50 is set. Broncos versus Panthers. Who saw that coming, right? A lot of people picked the Panthers, but a lot of people had the Patriots. And I said this in my Facebook post. Scary, scary thing when everybody in America picks one team. And lo and behold, Peyton Manning and company got it done. Cam's offense, scary, scary good. Cam says he's doing what a lot of people said he couldn't do. Offensive line, great. You know, Josh Norman, Luke Kuechly, great. Luke Kuechly, first player to ever return picks for a touchdown in back-to-back postseason games. Carson Palmer, I said he was suspect. A lot of people doubted me. Big fan of his, doubted me. Four picks, two fumbles, ties for the most turnovers in postseason play, tied with Jake Delhomme. Panthers, oh, by the way, are favored by 4, which is obviously will go up or down by kickoff come February 7th, Sunday in Santa Clara, Levi Stadium. So, now we're going to be hearing Peyton Manning being 39, right? Cam Newton was 9 years old when Peyton Manning made his NFL debut in September 1998. So, we're going to talk how old Peyton Manning is for the next 2 weeks. 39 years old. Old in sporting age, not old in old regular age. Like I said, Carson Palmer, suspect. Brady and the Pats seemed sluggish from the get-go. And I was at the Royal Rumble last night, Amway. So it was first quarter, I'm looking at Jimmy. I'm like, what's the score in that game? He goes 17-0. I'm like, I made a right decision to come out here in Orlando. Because I've been very ticked off watching a game that wasn't that good. First game was great. Second game, head scratcher. And I said in my Facebook post, Carson Palmer needed to be great. He needed to be mistake-free to give the Cardinals a chance. And what did he do? put up another stinker yesterday. The worst opportune time. Welcome back to the program, Dave. Super Bowl 50 is set. I see your little... By the way, Dave has these little things. He'll go... His Skype name will be different name every time we do a show. So this one has R.I.P. Peyton to the left. I'm like, oh boy, he's at it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Thoughts on your weekend? Super Bowl 50 is set. Thoughts on yesterday's games?
Yeah, interesting games. Definitely not what I expected with the Broncos-Patriots. Definitely what I expected out of the Panthers. I think Super Bowl 50 is set and over. I think we could just give the trophy and save ourselves 2 weeks of talking on ESPN and nonsense that you know, we don't need to talk about. Like you said, Peyton's age and all this other nonsense that goes with the 2 weeks waiting for the big game. Man, the Broncos beat up on a very bad Patriots team. That Patriots team looked super suspect yesterday. That offensive line was atrocious. They could not block anybody. And it was just scary. They were getting pass rush with three guys, dropping eight. Brady had nowhere to throw and had no time. And that offensive line was a joke, an absolute joke, and definitely the reason they lost that game. Broncos, their defense won the game. Like I said, if the only way they're going to win that game is if the defense does it. And lo and behold, they win that game because that offense didn't really move the ball too much. I mean, against a weak Patriots defense, only putting up 20 points, 14 of those points were early in the game too. So that whole second half, their offense was stagnant. And they're going against that Carolina defense. It's not looking good for Peyton. This looks like definitely 2 years ago against Seattle.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Everyone wants his swan song. He wants to go out on top. Careful what you wish for, because he's going to go out with a beatdown. I just don't see them. There's no way they're going to beat the Carolina Panthers. I just don't see it. And Carson Palmer yesterday. I think maybe Brian Hoyer snuck in there because that was a joke. I thought Brian Hoyer had the worst performance in playoff history. And Carson Palmer comes in and takes that over in a way bigger game too. I mean,
yeah,
you're one game away from the big one. And for six turnovers, I mean, it was just interception after interception. He destroyed his team. Any momentum they had, he killed it single-handedly. And it was just sad. It's sad that there's 52 other guys on that team. And you know, to get that far, they worked their butts off to get there. And for that one player just to let you down like that, it's just – it's inexcusable. I mean, you know, two interceptions, fine. But four interceptions, two fumbles lost.
Hmm.
That's a joke, man. That's a joke. And, yeah, you're right about Carson. But, I mean, that's I don't even think suspect is the word in that situation. That's just – that's the worst performance I've ever seen any quarterback have ever in a big game.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Ty Jake DeLome is pretty bad. I think he might have hurt too, Dave. We were talking about his finger last week on the gripping of the football. And he's just like, I don't know. Like, I was telling Doug, he doesn't want to believe me. I guess now he does. But I was telling him, look, I was watching the game. You were at work. You weren't watching the game. I watched every single play. And this guy just seemed like his QB vision. I was saying, like, he doesn't seem like he's reading the coverage as well. Like, this guy's throwing a double coverage. It's just like, what are you seeing that we're not seeing? If we could see it at home sitting down, you have the best view. And it's not like he's, you know what I mean? He missed a lot of throws. Guys wide open, just throwing at their feet, throwing over their heads. And maybe he's hurt and they're just not telling us. I guarantee there's something that's going to come out in a couple of weeks here about his finger, throwing arm.
Yeah, I mean, it could be injury. You never know. But injury
but
doesn't
play
hurt
hard.
Your vision.
These guys play hard all the time. Yeah, exactly.
You know, your vision, he's throwing into double coverage. Whether his finger is hurt or not, you still don't make that decision. So I think it could be a mixture of both, maybe. He did miss a few passes yesterday. He did have a lot of, I think, two big drops by Larry Fitzgerald. He didn't come to play either. So, I mean, you can't really just say Carson Palmer was the only one. He was the worst, but very disappointed in Larry Fitzgerald's performance. You would think he would come out on fire, you know, one game away from the title game there. And he laid an egg as well. So, I mean, it could be injury, but like I said, injury does not affect where you're going to throw the ball and those decisions to throw into double coverage and not reading the coverage and basically having Luke Kuechly as one of your receivers, one of your best receivers. It was a joke. It was – I just can't believe what I was watching yesterday. I mean, I was loving it because I'm definitely pro Carolina, but it's sad to see that.
Yeah, it's funny.
You know, to go out that way, have such a great season. The Cardinals had a great season, and to go out that way, I mean, it's sad, definitely sad.
Yeah, it's interesting too. Let's talk about the Pats here real quick too. I mean, the Pats to me look sluggish all day, man. Brady's missing a lot of throws. Offensive line beat up. I mean, the Marcus Ware, Von Miller, they were great pass rushers yesterday. I mean, they had Brady running around all day. And we talked about this before, too. To beat Brady, you got to pressure him. Make him feel your presence all day long. And they hit Brady 23 times Sunday, far most Brady's been hitting any game this season. Von Miller, first player to sack Brady and pick him off, too. So Von Miller, great game. DeMarcus Ware, great game. That Broncos defense, something else. We always talk about Peyton Manning's great offensive teams, but now this guy has a defense. Finally. I mean, it took him like 20 years to get a defense, and, man, the Denver Broncos defense, they had Tom Brady looking like one of those Mike Tyson fights, his opponents, every time he was on the ground. Couldn't get up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key, keep Brady on the ground. And that's what they did 23 times. They had 4 sacks on him. A couple of interceptions, just making him throw the ball too quick. He felt that pressure all game. That offensive line did nothing to protect him. And they're definitely going to have to look at that in the offseason to solidify that offensive line, because it was a joke. I mean, he literally had like less than a second or two to throw that ball, or else he would get hit again and again and again. It was play after play. And that's why the offense couldn't get going. There was no run game, absolutely no run game. So that helped the Broncos get their pass rush off. And, I mean, dropping eight back, rushing with 3 guys, where are you going to throw the ball?
Right.
I mean, that Broncos defense, they have Super Bowl caliber defense. I just think Carolina is more suited to protect Cam. They have the run game. They have the offensive line. And just more of a mobile quarterback. A guy that you're not going to beat up. Yeah, because you're going to be chasing him. He's just as fast as you, and he's way bigger than Von Miller. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a different story.
Tommy Boy blamed himself for not being able to read Denver's pass rush on Sunday's ball. 2-3 versus Peyton. He's 20-4 in playoff games against any other starting quarterback. So it's safe to say that the Manning brothers own Tom Brady?
No. Definitely not. That was not Peyton Manning last night that won that game. That was definitely Denver's defense. Everyone's saying, oh, yeah, Manning. No, he did not have anything to do with that win. He's an Alex Smith now. He's a game manager. He did what he had to do, and that defense completely shut out that offense. It was all defense. I don't want to hear anything about Manning owning Tom Brady. No way. That defense was lights out, and they're not getting the credit they deserve. I mean, I'm watching TV all day today, and nothing. I barely hear anything about the defense. It's all Peyton Manning. And that's
I just don't like the guy
just because of that. I mean, I guess it's not his fault, but the media coverage of this guy is a joke. I'm like, he did nothing yesterday. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be throwing ducks in the Super Bowl. We're going to be talking about
first
that.
Half. First half, they were good, really good. Second half, kind of went back to being
the first half. It wasn't even, I wouldn't even necessarily say good. That defense, there was blown coverage. Like three out of four plays, there was blown coverage, and that allowed two touchdowns.
Tell me why they have Collins getting beat by Owen Daniels on both plays.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the matchup you would want, right? But why is Collins like dating? Like, I don't understand. Guy getting beat bad by Owen Daniels, left for dead.
No safety help over the top at all. It was bad, and I mean that's how they scored on that. The running game didn't really do too much there. Patriots were on top of that. But, yeah, it was Broncos defense. They were the MVP of that game. They're the reason they're going to the Super Bowl. They're the reason they're even at this point. Without that defense, they wouldn't even have made the playoffs. So you also have to remember that Brock Osweiler also beat the Patriots during the year, if you recall.
Well, thanks to Brock Osweiler and the Miami Dolphins, right? They got Denver was able to get the home field advantage. That was huge, right? Brock Osweiler, big up to him, and big up to the Miami Dolphins for getting Denver this home field advantage. Because I think I was telling Jimmy this morning, if this game was in Foxborough, it's lights out. Brady's not losing in Foxborough.
I mean, I don't know if home field advantage was that big of a deal, just the way they were playing. It's a big factor, but I mean, also the weather, maybe it was worse. Maybe, you know, we have that snow on the East Coast, the way that offensive line played, it didn't matter where that they played that game. They were going to get destroyed. That defense was just owning them from start to finish. And there's no way they couldn't block anybody. They could not block a soul. And I mean, even when they had five guys trying to block three guys, they could not get it done. And I maybe home field might have helped a little bit, maybe for the psyche, maybe getting them more amped up, feeling safer at home. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely a lights out defensive performance by the Broncos, Super Bowl caliber defense.
So let me ask you this: kickers are people too, right? So our boy Gaskowski missed the PAT, right? He hasn't missed all year. I mean, it's funny how sports world happens. You perfect all year, and all of a sudden, the biggest game, biggest moment, you miss the PAT. So the game came down, Gronkowski, great catches, Brady being Brady again, and they had to go for two. So if he made that field goal, extra point, we're not even talking about going for two here, just another chip shot. But I was telling Jimmy, I would rather miss that PAT than have him coming down to have him score there, and then he missed that field goal, the extra point. That would have been worse. What do you think is worse that happened yesterday, at extra point? The first one or the second one missed?
Oof. I don't know. I mean, even after the first extra point, I told my pops, I was like, that's it. That's going to come back and haunt them.
That could be huge. Yeah, and it did.
One point is just huge in these championship games and in the playoffs. And I guess that's a big deal now with the NFL moving that extra point back. It's definitely impacted a lot of games this year. So,
to me, the extra point is like food garnish that we don't even need. You know, like you got some watercress, you take that thing off. You got some cilantro, you take it off. You got some parsley, you take it off. You're like, what is this? I don't want that on my plate. Right? Is that the point? That's like some garnish for food. So now I hope they think NFL teams going into next year better think this is actually part of food. You just don't take it off and put it side of the plate, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a part of a side dish at this point that accompanies the entree. Because they add up. I mean, how many misses have we seen this year? They've been piling 80? Up, and they add up. And now having that big-time kicker is going to be very important for teams. Mm-hmm. And it's going to hurt a lot of teams. I think I'm surprised that a lot more teams haven't just gone for two.
Yeah.
You know, lining up at that two-yard line.
Two-yard line, you're much closer, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very surprised a lot of teams haven't just, you know, gone for two more.
Put that in the playbook. I mean, just go for 2 points conversions. Put it in the playbook. Run the plays.
Yeah, and I mean, you think about it. You go one for two. That's two extra points right there. So I mean, that's definitely an option for teams with weaker kickers. But it's definitely going to be something to be addressed by all these teams now. Just seeing the impact in these playoffs. And that was a big kick. I can't believe he missed that kick. I mean, you could see his
not
face.
A garnish.
He was
not a garnish.
And even on the kick after, he made a field goal after that, and you could see he was still disgusted with himself.
Let me ask you this: after that happened, we kind of both figured that was a big. You in your head, you told your dad, and I said to myself, that's huge. So Belichick, I mean, he had a lot of more chances, right? They're going for it on fourth down. Couldn't he just kick a field goal? This guy's the most accurate kicker in the league, one of the most accurate kickers in the league, reliable kickers in the league, besides Dan Bailey on the Cowboys. Bill Belichick, to me, great coach. Who are we to second guess him? Guy won four Super Bowls, could have been six, thanks to your boy, Eli Manning and the Giants. Different story for a different day. But to me, after that missed field goal, Belichick just kind of like went away from Gaskowski. Because he could have made those field goals and get the ball back, right? I mean, you never know what could happen. This guy just kept on going for it on fourth down. I would have just took the points. You got to take the points, in my opinion.
It's very easy for us. We're all experts after the game. And looking back, that offense was not moving the ball at all. And you had to get down there and score some type of touchdown and get the points. I mean, getting the points would be nice, but then, you know, Gaskowski wasn't. What if he missed those field goals? Then we'll be questioning, hey, why didn't he go for it on fourth and one? So it's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. We'd be questioning it regardless.
The offense was kind of shaky all day, though. I mean, it just missed throws.
You can't. I think you had to just try and go for it, especially those drives when he went for it. They had some semblance of momentum, and Broncos just came up with those big stops, man. That defensive line, that front seven, completely ate up that Patriots front, and there was nothing they can do about it. and you know, even short passes. I did try to do that little fake handoff and screen pass to fool them on one of the fourth and one plays, and Chris Harris just chilled out there waiting for him, lit him up, stop, another stop on fourth and one. And it was just, I'm telling you, it was just that defense. There was nothing the Patriots could do, whether they kicked the ball, whether they went for field goals. There was nothing they were going to do that day to stump that defense. They were just doing a lot of different things that the Patriots haven't seen before. Usually we know the Patriots are the team that they could adjust at halftime and then, you know, kind of solve the problems of the first half. And they didn't seem to be able to do that. They couldn't figure out the defense at all. So, I mean, definitely hats off to Broncos. And I don't know, are you giving participation trophies out for the Pats?
Well, that's what I was getting to in a minute, but you took the words out of my mouth. So Tom Brady taking the blame. Gostkowski missed the extra point. He says he feel like he lost the game. But you and I agree, the Patriots had more opportunities than that, right? I mean, and then you got the salty Pat fans who are very, very spoiled Patriots fans.
Yeah,
on Twitter.
They're the worst.
Do you see the nonsense they said on Twitter?
Hate,
Gostkowski?
Hate,
I can't
mail,
even read
man.
It. I can't even read it, right? You saw it, right?
Oh, yeah. It's hate mail. It's ridiculous. They sing his praise when, you know, he's winning them games, and then, right. You know, they lose one, and they hate the guy. That's, to put it lightly, they hate him. So, yeah, because it was pretty vicious. A lot of those tweets were very vicious. I'm sure Blair Walsh can share his pain.
Oh, man.
He's been getting it pretty rough as well on Twitter. All these donks, these trolls, horrible fans. I mean, I think they're just horrible people in general. Like, how do you miss a game? And, you know, to go after people like that, like threaten their lives and because of a game, like, it just makes no sense to me with these guys, with these donks. And, you know, I hope Gostkowski just kind of gets off Twitter for a little while and just lets it be.
Wow, unbelievable. So you got Belichick taking the blame, which we like about Belichick and Brady, right? Those guys man up like we've been saying all year.
Oh, yeah.
Belichick taking the blame, Brady taking the blame, Gostkowski taking the blame. How about our boy Brandon LaFell, 6 in the NFL and 10 drops, $2.4 million salary. How you doing, Brandon LaFell? I mean, benched.
Yeah, you know, I think he's done so. That's his last game in New England for sure.
I mean,
he'll get cut.
I mean, $2.4 million salary, he might, I don't know if he'll come back, 6th in the NFL, 10 drops. So, you know, disappointing for Tom Brady. And I don't know, maybe Tom Brady, his attire, man, tells me a whole lot about Brady. Like yesterday, scruff, no Da Vinci shirt, no jacket. You know, you couldn't see the smile. The hair gel wasn't there. You know, like no swag in Brady. I mean, did he these clothes just to lose yesterday? That press conference told me, like, man, Tom, you weren't thinking you were going to win this game yesterday.
Man, I guess maybe, but
because you know, boy, Cam got the shoes. Cam got the foxtail. You know what I'm saying? Cam got the three piece. The scarf. Brady was just disheveled, man. Like,
Cam is ready to look good no matter what. He's ready. He's equipped with the swag. Win, lose, or draw.
Oh,
that guy. So, maybe he had two different outfits.
Tom looking rough. Rough out
here.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. Hey, he can thank that offensive line and that piss poor running game for getting himself beat up. I mean, I wouldn't be too happy either at that press conference just thinking, like, yeah, I'll take the blame and all. But there's only so much a quarterback can do when there's no protection. And we've been saying that all year. When a quarterback is given time, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, they're going to do all right. But he did not get that yesterday. And I think the biggest, not even Gostkowski, I think the blame really needs to go on that offensive line for just, they look like they weren't even trying. That's how
it's
bad
funny.
It was. They just gave up.
It's funny. Did you pick up my notes today? Because everything you've been saying, like I've written down literally.
Yeah.
yeah, it's ridiculous. Like what you've been saying, maybe been doing a show. We even haven't been doing a show that long, but everything you've been saying is actually what I've written down. And I was like, I was going to ask you, Dave, who's the blame for the Patriots? And then you said it right away. I'm just like, man, this guy looked at my show or something. Did you hack my emails? I think you're
clairvoyant
or something. Wow. So So biggest. Who's to blame for the Patriots, man? Kicker, yeah. Coach, schemes. Who's to blame? Denver, the Mile High air. Who's to blame?
Well, I mean, you have to give it to definitely Denver defense for that effort. That was number one. But I think that defense wouldn't have done as well if that offensive line showed up. They just didn't show up at all. I mean, they made Von Miller look like the greatest greatest pass rusher of all time, and he's good. But I mean, he's not that good. I mean, him, DeMarcus Ware, they were untouched the entire game, and constantly in Brady's face, and it was incredible. You know, even five
where
on three.
Edelman. Where was Edelman? James White. I mean. Bolden and
no, James White. Oh man, that's all he threw to. They took Edelman out of the game essentially because they dropped back seven to eight people every game. I mean every play. So
zone
I mean
coverage.
They
zone.
Yeah,
zone,
they
zone,
really
zone.
Hurt. They hurt that and took away Edelman and James White. That just constant. I think he had 14 targets towards him this game. He was the big because he was the only one in single coverage.
Right.
And every time they threw to Gronk, it was double coverage. But Gronk is a monster. So, you know, he got it done anyway. But it was just the offensive line definitely to blame. And I think that goes with the running game not being there as well because the offensive line couldn't get any movement up in the front, create any gaps for these running backs at all. I mean, I know they have weak running backs as it is, but there was no gaps. There was nothing they can do. I mean, I don't care who you put. You could put Adrian Peterson back there, and he wouldn't have gotten anywhere with that offensive line. So I definitely – that's a big blame, I think, for the Patriots at this point is definitely taking a look at that offensive line.
So participation trophies, who you got? Who you heading out to?
Well, you have to give it to the Patriots. I mean, they got here. It's not easy to get to a championship game and to continually be – as dominant as they are, you know, year in, year out, we rarely see a bad year from the Patriots. An AFC championship loss is considered a horrible losing year for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So you have to definitely give participation trophy to all of them. Man, I wouldn't want to give one to the offensive line, but they did get here. So, I think the whole team, the whole organization gets one. It's, you know, to get here and, you know, it's a loss, but it's not a bad season. I mean, you could be the Browns. You have to look at it that way. I wish the fans should look at it that way, too. I mean, they're so spoiled. Constantly in the Super Bowl, the championship games, and, you know, they lose in an AFC championship game, and the world is going to end. Like, you don't feel our pain as rooting for these teams that, you know, barely even make the playoffs. So... They should feel fortunate.
Yeah, it's horrible. It really is horrible. So those are the participation trophies. But for Brady, it's like LeBron James, right? It's like championship or bust with these guys, right? It's like, and that's what Brady plays for. Certain guys, I mean, it's unfair, but like that's just the way it is. Their greatness, it's a failure. Considered a failure to them, right? Not winning this championship, Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good and bad. It shows how good you are. But it's also bad because expectations are always super high, no matter what. And even with the deficiencies this team has had, they've found success and ways to get around it. And it was just, you know, a matter of time before they would find someone or a team or a defense that was really going to put it to them and really make these deficiencies, you know, visible. And that's what happened with this Broncos D. It's a Super Bowl caliber defense all year. And we've been saying it. They've had a great defense, and lucky they do, because without that, I just don't see the Broncos even being in this game. So it's a curse. It's a curse having these expectations. But I mean, I guess that's what goes with being a champion.
Yeah. Expectations are pretty high. Pretty high. So we'll come back. We'll talk about Peyton history. We'll talk about little Cam and everything else going on in the Super Bowl. So you excited or what, man? Are you you're RIP Peyton Manning already, right? I mean,
yeah, I'm not really too.
I think the best thing we can look forward to, we can look forward to Beyonce, right? Beyonce, we got Coldplay, we got the booze, we got the chips, we got the food.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll make it interesting. We always find ways to make it interesting in this world, no matter how bad the world is. I
Yeah,
think we'll
it'll be
still
fun
enjoy
to play
ourselves.
some.
Still enjoy
We got
ourselves.
some table hockey. It's the air hockey.
I figured it out. Figured it out. So we'll come back. We're gonna talk about some numbers, some stats, some things going on in the NFL, and then get into some basketball tonight too. So don't go anywhere. Stick around. Kenford Abrams Sports Talk Show live from Orlando, Florida. 70 degrees and sunny. Dave in New York. New York. By the way, how are the roads out there, Dave? Everything seems to be back.
Oh, they're fine. Everything's back, yeah, because it was actually pretty sunny yesterday, so everything melted and good to go. Good to go.
Good. Back after this. Back to the program, Kent Freeman Sports Talk Show, live call ends at 661-449-904. So I was out there Rumble. Welcome back, Dave. I was out there yesterday at Royal Rumble, and there was a couple sitting next to me, and I just, because me and Dave are biggest, I think two of the biggest marks, Sasha Banks, pushing Sasha Banks, tweet WWE. We haven't gotten blocked yet, which is good. And we've been pushing for Sasha Banks for a long time. So after the match, I'm screaming for Sasha, let's go, let's go. I'm tweeting, and all of a sudden her music hits. I got up and started screaming so loud. I was like, yeah, like the Ultimate Warrior. I'm holding the glass, rocking, and this girl's like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? I'm like, you have no idea. You have no idea. Sasha Banks is life. And lo and behold, Dave, WWE Creative seems like they've listened. Listened to the masses.
Yeah, finally. I mean, it's about time. I had a feeling. I was waiting. I saw the celebration going on in the ring, and I told my brother. I was like, oh, get ready. And just waiting for that music to hit. And it's kind of waiting. And I'm like, all right. And bomb, there it goes. I was like, yeah,
what was your reaction? You jumped up, you popped?
Yeah, I was happy. I had a feeling she was going to be on there at some point. I mean, I was wearing my Sasha Banks shirt. I had my rings, my legit boss rings. Yeah. I was geared up, waiting for her to show up, because I knew that, I was like, this is WrestleMania season. They got to get her in here somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe to help Becky or something, or you know, in some way.
Right.
Yes, that was great. Oh man, finally, our wishes have been granted.
Oh man, can't wait. Yeah, I just cannot wait.
Yeah, I hope they wait. I hope they wait till Mania for it.
Yeah, I think so.
You know,
I think so.
Skip Fastlane.
Something to have at Fastlane. I don't care if she loses, controversy, and then get rid of Flair. Just have him be one-on-one. Give me 15 good minutes at an NXT match at Mania.
Let them do their thing. I mean, I feel like
get Flair out of there.
Get Flair
out of there. Yeah,
not even that. I feel like creative is hindering their matches, maybe not letting them do what they want to do like they would in NXT, where it's a little, you know, riskier moves, and just the action is incredible. And I feel like they're kind of just putting a little damper on that. You could see it yesterday with that Becky and Charlotte match. It was okay, but we've both seen them wrestle in NXT, and we both know that they can put on a show.
Yeah.
So I feel like the creative
give
dampering. 15,
17 minutes. 15, 17 minutes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Welcome back to the program. So Peyton Manning will be the first quarterback in NFL history to appear in four Super Bowls with four different head coaches: Tony Dungy, John Fox, Jim Caldwell, and Kubiak. So he won with Dungy versus the Bears. He lost to the Seahawks with John Fox. Jim Caldwell, he lost in Miami versus the Saints. And now Kubiak. Verdict is out on Kubiak right now. Which one of those four coaches you like? If Manning's that stands out to you.
It's pretty hard not to like Tony Dungy. He's he's big time. He's a legend, I think. Kubiak at this point, I feel like it's not really Peyton Manning's team anymore. I don't feel he's not the reason why they're winning. And Kubiak is a big reason for that. He's a big defensive coach. He's made this defense into a powerhouse. So, I mean, I guess what are you asking? More like which coach is more impactful or which relationship is?
Yeah, relationship. You got to go with Tony Dungy, right?
Yeah,
I
would
Fox,
definitely.
That John Fox one, he looked horrible. That Seattle game, I don't know if it's preparation. That Seattle team was damn that good. Jim Caldwell, that game they lost to the Saints. I mean, they had a couple opportunities, right? Porter took it back to the house, onside kick.
That game was a little shaky. I mean, that could have gone either way. And there was just a few big plays made by the Saints just to turn the tide there. So that one was definitely a closer one. That Seattle game, which I think is going to be just like this Carolina game. It's just not going to be pretty.
Yeah.
But it's all up. This defense, though, is not the same defense as that Seattle Super Bowl. So that's the one hope for the Broncos, that this defense could come out and really just try to put a hurting on that, stop that high-powered offense. I mean, they're the highest-scoring offense in the league. And
I guess it does pay to spend money because, I mean, John Elway put a lot of stock in Peyton Manning, a lot of stock in DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib, Von Miller as well. Those guys are getting paid millions, man. So Trevathan, really good guy as well, too. So, I mean, those guys, I mean, this is one of Peyton Manning's best team he's had for a long time. Defensive-wise, man, it's unbelievable. Mine's got a defense.
Oh, hands down.
So I think this defense, they hold their own. Ward as well, too. This guy's making a lot of money. So John Elway putting a lot of stock in his players. And you'd always say, like, you know, money doesn't buy championships. But, I mean, it certainly has worked up to this point for John Elway and company, right, so far.
Oh, yeah. It's the best defense Peyton's ever had on any team for his entire career. From top to bottom. And like you said, spending money, they're going to have a lot of questions. I know Von Miller's an unrestricted free agent coming up this year.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works out. Hey, I wouldn't mind him being a Giant.
I was gonna say, I wouldn't mind him on the Eagles, too. Wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, he's going to get a big payday. And that's definitely going to be part of how well he plays. You know, he's playing for that big check.
Gary Kubiak and Ron Rivera will each have played and now coached in the Super Bowl, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Ron Rivera joins Tom Flores as the only head coaches of Hispanic descent to reach the Super Bowl. So that's pretty good. It's pretty mighty. Ron Rivera, now Tom Flores. Pretty historic. So historic clash of the Titans. So Ron Rivera to lean on Mike Ditka for advice to the 85 Bears, which he played on. And he's kind of optimistic about Davis playing the Super Bowl after the surgery, the hand surgery. He's having surgery today, so he might play in the Super Bowl. So would he make a riverboat Ron? Almost got fired a couple years ago, right? And then he stuck with him. So, I mean, then this guy's house burns down. Like, it's just been a roller coaster with this guy in Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, go figure. You're about to get fired, and you end up keeping your job, and now taking your team to a Super Bowl. Look at that consistency. That's what it is. It's just sticking with it.
Give him time.
Let it play out.
2 years, 2-3 years, you're going to fire the guy. Give him time. Give him 5 years. Give him four. At least as long as they're getting better and better every year, just stick around with him.
And if he ended up getting canned, they would not be in the spot. They would not be in the spot. They'd be rebuilding again, completely different offensive situation, defense.
Mm-hmm.
Stick to your guys. Stick to these coaches. Give them some time to rock out. And look what it's paying off in Carolina. And I see maybe he's getting some advice at this point, maybe not for the actual game plan, but maybe just preparation, how to kind of organize. Because it's 2 weeks. So that's a little different for the team. 2 weeks of headaches, keeping your players out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of parties over there in Santa Clara. So you want to keep them out of trouble. How to deal with media day. A lot of young guys on that team. So how to deal with the media and basically that kind of thing. And should be fun. I can't wait. And hopefully I think we just gotten word that they're going to actually air the game on ESPN to support this too with those Panthers announcers.
Yeah, those guys are hilarious.
Oh, they're fantastic. I was listening to it yesterday because I can't say it. I was done. I was over it.
Oh, your boy's good, man. Your boy,
I couldn't deal with it. I could not deal with it. I was already – I had a big headache
big
after watching
Phil Simms. That Bigelow tea, man. It's all about the Bigelow tea.
I had a headache watching listening to Phil Simms and Nance the whole first game. So I was kind of done. I was over it. Then I get the treat of Joe Buck right after. So I was just like, I'm done. I can't. So I just went on ESPN Radio, looked it up on the app, and just listened to the Spanish announcers. It was fantastic. The game is so much more fun. I'm telling you, it is intense listening to these guys. And you can't catch most of what they're saying because it's all nonsense.
Right,
but
it's
a treat, man. It's a treat.
Wepa.
Mátatelo, mátatelo. Come, bailale, bailale.
Dab. See, I'm in three. See, we are in three.
He goes, very, very good. Very, very good.
Well, at least the table is not going to be broken by one of the guys, right? So their table is going to be held up in check all game.
Yeah.
So don't get put through the table. So, it was good. ESPN Deportes. Good.
Oh, man.
It's good stuff.
Definitely. Something to look forward to.
And how about Kubiak, man? Remember a couple of years ago he fainted in that game, Fainted was kind of weird, and then he was gone out of Houston. Now he got canned out of Baltimore. So he's gotten a second chance of life, too, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's sometimes now you're kind of seeing how these coaches put in a situation.
18-hour days, yeah. Man.
You know how they do and how well they do, and we see them. Oh yeah, this coach is awful, but he's with the Texans, and the Texans are awful, an awful organization. They never give this guy a quarterback. They never give their team a quarterback. Their offense is always stagnant. But you're seeing now you put. A great defensive mind like Kubiak in a position to succeed. You give him the pieces and look what he can do with it. And I think that's for pretty much any coach in this league. They didn't do that with Coughlin this year. They didn't give him the pieces to succeed. And it ultimately cost him his job. So good for Kubiak. Definitely happy for him. And hopefully this is a lesson to the owners. You know, maybe it's a wake-up call where they realize, firing – all these coaches are not the answer. Maybe it's just about giving them the right pieces to work with their philosophies.
Yeah. 45 after the hour. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. We'll come back. We'll do plus minus. Should be interesting. Plus minus. Look at Super Bowl 50. Look ahead. By the way, any participation trophies for the Cardinals? I mean, great season, right?
Yeah. I think it's the same with the Patriots. You just based on the season. I wasn't really expecting – such a dominant season from this team. And they proved me wrong. They did well. They laid an egg in this big time game, big spot. But I say give him all around. Carson Palmer is going to have to figure something out with his life. He's got to figure out why he can't perform in the playoffs. Completely yeah. different quarterback from regular season to the playoffs.
Yeah.
We've got to see what he does in the off season and see if he could shake this, because that's a rough performance, and he's going to be thinking about that for a long time.
Oh yeah, definitely. He is going to be thinking that for quite a time in the off season. So what do you do if you're the Cardinals? You stick with Carson? You got a quarterback here? Because the defense is in place, right? You got Honey Badger come back. You got Peterson. Defense gives some more pass pressure. Because to me, they're off and on. You don't know what Cardinal team you're going to get. What Carson Palmer you're going to get at any given day. He could be really good, or he could see really bad, and the batter's really, really bad, which you've seen in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, someone with the talent, and his skill level is great and led your team to a dominant regular season. And, to kind of throw that out the window and just base it on two, horrible playoff games. And these are the games that matter, playoff
yeah,
games. So
yeah, big
it's
games.
Just they're definitely going to have to reevaluate the situation. I think at this point you have to stick with them. I mean, it's pretty tough to find a quarterback in this league as good as he is. So to let him go just because of the two playoff losses, I think you have to give him another shot, see what he can do next year. And if it happens again, I think that's when it'll be the last straw, and that'll be it for him.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, great season, Fitzgerald and company, great season, great year, well coached. But I don't know which Carson Palmer, please stand up, which real one you're going to get, which real Arizona defense you're going to get, because sometimes they look really, really good, and other times they just look like, eh. You saw what the Seahawks did to them. They smacked them around. Maybe they weren't playing around. The Packers almost beat them. And now this, yep. I'm saying, Carson Palmer looks suspect, because I watch games. I watch games closely. I'm not I don't know how fans watch games, but I watch games, and I kind of know, I have a feel for what's going on. I take mental notes. And to me, coverage, he wasn't seeing his vision's all met. I don't know if he's hurt or whatever have you, but he just wasn't making the reads. And it showed the last couple of weeks, and now lo and behold, we just saw the real Carson Palmer yesterday. So he's got some work to do. He's got to think about
plenty of time, too.
Yeah, he had the time. He stepped up in the pocket, just couldn't hit the throws. Couldn't hit the throws. Wide open, couldn't hit, just missed them. Miss. 48 after the hour, don't go around, stick around. We'll come back. We'll talk plus minus Broncos and Panthers plus minus back after this.
Clap for a nigga, know what it is rapping, and blow a stack for your niggas with your trapping, and clap for a nigga, know what it is rapping, and blow a stack for your niggas with your trapping, and time for
yeah. Halloween, Taliban. Yeah, jumpin', them boys up to something. They just spent like 2 or 3 weeks out the country. Them boys up to something, they just not just bluffing. You don't have to call, I hear my dance like Usher, ooh. I just found my tempo like on DJ Mustard, ooh. I hit that Ginobili with my left hand up like, ooh. Lobster and saline for all my babies that I miss. Chicken finger, french fry for them hoes that wanna dish. Jumpin', them boys up to something. I think I need some Robitussin. Way too many questions, you must think I trust you. You searching for answers, I do not know nothing, woo. I see him tweaking, ain't no something's coming, woo. Jumpin', them boys up to something, woo. Jumpin', what was you expecting, woo. Shout out Michael Jordan, just said text me, woo.
Jumpin', I just seen the jet take out, they up to something. Them boys just not bluffing. Jumpin', them boys up to something. She was trying to join the team, I told her, wait. Chicken wings and fries, we don't go on dates. Noble. I just throw the private dinner in the lake. Trapping is a hobby, that's the way for me. Money coming fast, he never getting slick. I just had to buy another face. Spurs and Phantom Jordan fade away.
Yeah, jumpin', I don't need no introduction. Jumpin', Metro boomin' on production, wow. 100 cousins out in Memphis, they so country, wow. Tell her stay the night, valet your car, come f*** me now. Jumpin', live on TNT, I'm flexin', ooh. Jumpin', they gave me my own collection, ooh. Jump when I say jump, girl, can you take direction, ooh. Mutombo with the f***, you keep getting rejected, ooh.
Heard it came through Magic City on a Monday. Heard they had the club wild, it was star-studded. A bunch of girls going wild when your chain flooded. And I had them like wild, cup dudded. Dope man. Money on the counter, choppers on the floor. I just caught that tempo, DJ Mustard. Way too much codeine in that room. We just count up big racks, whoa. I know I'ma get my big back, whoa. Count all these racks that they have on me now, I'ma have you like what? Chanel number 9, Chanel number 5, but you got them both.
Jumpin', them boys up to something. They just spent like 2 or 3 weeks out the country. Them boys up to something, they just not just bluffing.
Jumpin', them boys up to something.
After the hour, welcome back to the program, Kemp Freedom Sports Talk Show. Live call-ins at 661-449-994. So with Dave, I'm in Orlando. Dave is in New York. Kind of wrote up a show last night, came home this morning. So glad to have you guys on board, wherever you are, however you may be. So a new segment here, Dave, kind of like off the whim. Plus minus for Super Bowl participants, Broncos, Panthers. Start with the Broncos. AFC, plus minus for the Broncos. What do you like? What do you don't like about this team? The makeup of this team?
Oh, wow. Well, I think I've been saying it all show. I don't like the strength of the quarterback position in terms of arm strength. In terms of decision making and being able to see coverage, and he's a genius. No one's better than Peyton Manning. So you have that as a plus. But just the arm strength, he can't be throwing those ducks out there with this ball hawking defense of the Carolina Panthers. They'll pick it off and take it for six every single time. So they're going to have to find a way to get their offense in position. These receivers can't drop the ball. We saw that in the Pittsburgh game. A lot of mm-hmm. drops. There was a few drops yesterday as well with Demaryius Thomas, who's supposed to be their big guy. So I think that's the wide receiver play as of late is a minus. But, you know, they could also, you know, step it up. You know, that's a game-to-game thing. A plus defense. That defense is a Super Bowl caliber defense. That defense mm-hmm. could take them to the Lombardi Trophy, without a doubt, from top to bottom. Great pass rushers, great secondary. They're going to be smothering the wide receivers of the Carolina Panthers all day. So it's going to be a pretty interesting matchup to see high-powered offense against this high-powered defense. So I think, I think the biggest plus for the Broncos is definitely the defense. And you can't forget McManus is a pretty decent kicker too. He's mm-hmm. been pretty good in the playoffs. So you know, you always got to remember special teams in this game, because you know, it could come down to that big kick and to win or lose the Super Bowl. So McManus is a pretty good kicker too, so that's a nice thing to have if you're the Broncos.
Well, like you said, they just can't drop balls. And Peyton's got to make certain throws, because Josh Norman, with his horse, is going to pick it off
he's
and run
ready.
It back. Yeah,
he's ready.
Keke Lee's like a receiver now out there. He can probably play tight end. He's a monster. So Peyton's got to make those throws. He's got to make his throws.
More touchdowns. More touchdowns than the receivers of the Broncos, as Keke Lee has, yeah. I think.
So that's for the Broncos there. How about the Panthers? To me, it's just they got to figure out a way to pace themselves. They're so geeked up and hyped up, and all the energy spent in the first half, they just can't finish games. Well, yesterday they played a full game, surprisingly. But their secondary is kind of suspect, though, Dave. A little suspect at times. You see what's been happening to them. You can actually pass on these guys. Your Giants made them pay. Seahawks made them pay. So, if anything, their secondary is a little suspect. But I don't know if Peyton Manning can throw 80 yards. I don't know if Peyton Manning can throw 70 yards, 50 yards, 40 yards, 30 yards. I don't know.
That's the thing. I think they're more suspect during the latter half of the game. That's when they start getting forward. Exposed. The beginning of the game, they're doing their thing. But latter half of the game, you know, when they feel comfortable, they have that lead. We've seen them getting picked apart. But like you said, I just don't see Peyton Manning having that arm strength. And, you know, he's not that gunslinger anymore to be able to pick apart that offense the way, you know, Carson Palmer has an arm. You know, Russell Wilson has a cannon. So it's going to be very difficult for the Broncos offense to figure out. I think the run game has to be on point for the Broncos for them to even have any remote chance of scoring any points against this defense. They definitely need to get C.J. Anderson going. Ronnie Hillman needs to get going. That's the only way to protect Peyton Manning. Otherwise, that pass rush is going to be going after him all day. He doesn't have the arm strength to do anything. If that's the case, if they have no running game, it's going to be a brutal game. Brutal.
Just got to pace themselves, not get bored, complacent. They decided to start letting up points. You know you're going to get with the running backs, Cameron Artis Payne, Williams, Stewart, excuse me, and Cam can run as well, too.
Don't forget Tolbert, big boy Tolbert.
Tolbert as well, he can run. So it's a lot of heavyweights throwing at you, that offense. They do a hell of a job for Cam Newton. They block. Receivers are great. They make their catches, man. Those guys are solid. Kotchery, Olsen, Fun. I mean, those guys.
Brown now, too.
Brown putting up
113 yards in the touchdown yesterday.
You know, and it's just you don't need a big – that proves you don't need a big – You don't need Antonio Brown in this league, I think. You just need guys, role players that can make plays. And they're cheap. Cost you cheap. You got a great offensive line. You got a good quarterback. You save money on receivers. You got a good tight end. You have pretty much money. And imagine when Benjamin comes back. This team is going to be scary.
Oh, man. We were done with this team. This team was done. Once Benjamin went down.
Benjamin went down. We're done. Yeah, we're
over.
Off.
Panthers were done. Last place.
Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. So that's the plus minus. Probably going to add some more to that stuff. I mean, from here on in, things can change, but plus minus. A couple things here. Former Texas quarterback Vince Young arrested for late Sunday night in Austin on a misdemeanor charge, DWI. So that's VY for you. How surprised are you?
I mean, I'm always surprised with these things because you've got to think that these guys have money. They see their fellow athletes getting into trouble like this, so you would want to avoid that. Just take Uber.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing driving? You know.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of surprised sometimes just at the these poor decisions by these guys. You know, it's pretty sad. And he's been out of the league for a while now, and I don't see him coming back anytime soon. So it's kind of like it's also a sad thing because you see how like life kind of deteriorates a little bit. So. Yeah, it's kind of sad, and of course you shake your head. I mean, you can't be making decisions like that. Just take Uber, man. It's cheap.
it's hard. It's a hard decision. It's a hard decision to make, man. You know, it's hard.
And
I'm
it's a
man.
Lot cheaper than the fines he's going to pay. You know, the fines he's going to pay now, the lawyers, all the trouble he's going to be in. Uber was a lot cheaper. It should be a commercial.
You can't make this stuff up, man. My boy Zach Ertz. 5 years, $48 million deal, coming off his best season, 75 catches at age 25. So Zach Ertz, straight cash homie, huh?
Yeah, good for him. He's been doing his thing in Philly. So that's a good signing to keep him going. What's this I hear that Bradford's agent is asking for $25 million a year?
Yeah, he's out of his mind. He's not going to get that. He's out of his mind. God bless the team. God bless the team that pays him $25 million. Good luck with that.
Oh man, yeah, that's what I said. I was like, that's just unreal. I can't believe I heard that. Yeah, I've heard it several times too, that they're starting high and trying to work their way so that they can get to the $20 million a year range for Sam Bradford.
Good for them. I hope he gets it. Just not by Eagles.
Not by the
somebody overpaid for him. Good riddance. If that's the case, that's what he wants. Hey, that's fine. Just not going to get it from my organization because I would rip them completely every day.
I don't see too many places paying that for Bradford. I mean, maybe 15, but that's I think even that's a lot for a performance and the history of injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see. Judge jury still out on that, so. Zachary's getting paid. FSU settles, our boy, famous James. FSU settles $950,000 in a Title IX lawsuit stemming from James Winston rape allegations. So FSU shelling out all that cash, huh?
Yeah, I was surprised. It's a nice settlement there. I mean, wow, almost $1 million.
Yeah.
So you got to be happy with that, especially, you know, since basically nothing was proven or anything. So it's kind of, I'm sure they make plenty of money there with the football program and everything. So that's just a chump change for them.
Absolutely. One after the hour, don't go anywhere. Stick around. Camp Raven Sports Talk Show. Talk some hoops. Me and Dave back after this. Don't go anywhere.
I'm peep with it. I'm peep with it. I'm a player baller. I'm a player's athletic. I'm a peep 8-1. All got street cred. I'm a player baller. I'm a player's athletic. Pull it up in the fountain. Pull it off with a dance. Got a pocket full of money. Kinda hard to keep my pants up. Trying to run them bands up. Just because of my hands up. Little Quake from his hands up. Kinda hard to understand up. Duffel bags in the Escalade. Caught a bitch still a bread truck. Got a bitch going retarded. Call over for a spare truck. All these niggas never scared us. All these niggas never ran us. Trying to put the head on us. Trying to put the feds on us. Trying to take meds on us. Everything for the players on us. It's something like Arizona. Gunshot just for saying something. Spraying shit like aerosol. You a foul and it's a fair ball. People can't reach the goals. Keep shooting them down air ball. Watch out, little bitch. Watch out, little bitch. Watch out, little bitch. Watch out, little bitch. You getting mad. I'm getting rich. You getting mad. I'm getting rich. Watch out, little bitch. Watch out, little bitch. Watch out, little bitch. Hey, watch out, little bitch. You getting mad. I'm getting rich. You getting mad. Watch out, loud hoe. My partner still smoking for a row. They say that I'm crazy. I used to talk to a stove. I tell it to lock. I tell it a lot. Go to the dealership. Bitch, tell off the lot. You know I'm coming straight out the block. You know I'm coming straight out the top. Shorty say she want 5 million. Cause I told her to leave and call her a thot. You can like it or not.
Damn.
I'm coming straight out the pot.
Damn.
Still got some ack in my stock.
Man.
I ain't got a lot.
Nah.
I ain't gotta
try.
You waving that thing in the sky.
Yeah.
We waving that thing at your body. We waving that thing at your eye. Look at the watch on my wrist. Got on my watch in my wrist. Told that little bitch I passed. Well, watch the assist. I run the track like the marathon. You the softer than silicone. You know what it's like when the feeling gone. I know what it's like when the sun gone. I had to sit down with Farrakhan. Turn the White House to the Terror Dome. I used to serve at the Chevron. I used to serve with my necklace on.
Watch that little bitch. Watch that little bitch. Watch that little bitch. Watch that little bitch.
You getting mad.
You getting mad.
I'm getting rich. You getting mad. Watch that little bitch.
Watch out.
Watch that little bitch.
Step on.
Hey, watch that little bitch. You getting mad.
You getting mad.
Don't get it rich. You getting mad. Don't get it rich.
Welcome back to the program, Kent Freeman Sports Talk Show. So, San Antonio Spurs, Golden State Warriors matchup features the best combined record for two teams. 40-plus games into the NBA season history via Elias. Steve Kerr calls Spurs Kawhi Leonard the best two-way player in the NBA. David Robinson, 2003, Spurs winning his last season, 8.5 points per game, 7.9 rebounds, 17.8 per. Tim Duncan, 8 points per game, 7.5 rebounds, 17.5 per. So, someone's got to give. Big matchup tonight. Golden State, Warriors versus Popovich and the Spurs. No big-time fundamental Timmy Duncan in the lineup tonight, Dave. Cause of concern, who you got?
Yeah, it's always a concern not having Tim Duncan, but I still think the team always finds a way. LaMarcus Aldridge is a monster now. He's getting better and better with the team every game. So Kawhi Leonard. Right now, they're Golden State's at home. I think they're favored by 5 points. I see San Antonio winning this one outright, even without Tim Duncan. Definitely, you know, concerned not having him, but I think they'll still be able to play some good defense and, you know, stop all that three-point game that Golden State has. It'd be nice to see, you know, Golden State a little flustered here, you know, because we've been saying, you know, as dominant as their start has been, they haven't proven anything to me because they haven't beaten the Spurs. So this is a big test for Golden State. So I know they're going to be bringing their A game. But we'll see how Popovich and the guys respond. And, you know, win or lose, you know, they're not going to really take it too hard. They're not going to be celebrating with a win over Golden State. They keep it classy over there and keep their eye on the prize. And that's the championship. So should be a fun game, though. I think it's, what, 10:30?
10:30, yep, 10:30 tip off. Probably watch that. Probably TiVo Raw. I'll be out to dinner. Probably TiVo that and come back home and watch that. Is it 87% Spurs or Warriors be a title? 74% chance the Warriors or Spurs meet in the conference finals. 94% chance either the Warriors or Spurs come out of the West. 87% chance either the Warriors or the Spurs win the NBA title. I'm serious. Heavyweight numbers there, man.
Yeah, that's big time. Wow. They're not giving much of a chance for anybody else.
Nobody.
To do anything.
Just hang it up and go home
wow.
now. With everybody else.
Yeah, right. It's over. Let's just have the Western Conference Finals start tonight, and that's it.
Yeah,
and
that's
I'll
it.
All go
that's
home.
It. Best of seven. That's it.
We can relax, you know, save a few months, and hey, maybe Kobe could come back for another year if he rests the rest of the time.
If he rests. Yeah, there you go. So Spurs to Tim Duncan knee against the Warriors. OKC's Robinson out 3 weeks with a sprained knee. Basketball Hall of Famer Wanzer dies at age 94. You see MSG staffers fired over alleged scalping. It's funny because I heard it's funny with Dolan too. This guy fired an employee because the employee didn't know who he was. This is the kind of
wow.
guy Dolan. This guy
yeah,
Dolan.
I'm not his biggest fan at all. I don't like the guy. I hate that he owns my team and runs my team basically into the ground this past two decades.
Yeah,
so I don't like the guy at all. I can't stand him, but I guess we're stuck with him because he basically said there's no chance he's selling the team ever. So we're just going to have to deal with it. And he's just such a jerk. A very unlikable person.
Yeah. Boy, Toronto, up-tempo style, not a LeBron thing. So we're hearing rumbles already. Cavs add Lombardi as an assistant, but what do you make of the Cavs? I mean, a couple of nights ago we were talking about the Cavs and Bulls, right? And 15 free throws, fundamentals, just can't make free throws. They hit those free throws, they win the game, probably close.
Yeah, free throws.
I mean, you think it's free, right? I mean, they call it free throws. You think they would just go up there and make them, but they just clank, building bricks, building houses, building mansions out there.
Yeah, that wasn't nice. Wasn't a nice way to come out with the, you know, after firing your head coach and then you come out and lay an egg against the Bulls. Not a good way to start. Man, I think, you know, Tyronn Lue, like you said, he wants to play more up-tempo. And he said that the team is not in shape enough to play that up-tempo style. He said in the last game, a few of the players were asking to come out of the game to rest a little bit.
So
that's strange there. I was kind of questioning that.
He's in form. Those guys aren't in shape. They got one job, right?
Yeah. Job. I mean, now is that a knock on Blatt there? He didn't have him in shape or maybe the players?
I mean, if Tyronn Lue is saying this for the one game in his coaching career, I mean, you got to knock players and the coaches. The coaches aren't holding them responsible. You can't have the inmates run the asylum, right? So it's, you know. What about that? So that, these guys are in game shape, which is astounding to me because almost midpoint of the season we're talking about shape. I mean, you're supposed to be in shape coming in. You know, game one, day one. What do you think, Mike, about this? I heard somebody's pushing for him to coach the All-Star game, Coach Blatt, to coach the All-Star game. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I heard about that. I actually have that in my notes. He's not going to do that. No way. He's not going to come. Tyronn Lue saying that he thinks Blatt deserves it because he's the one
party and gift
team. Yeah, he doesn't want to do that. But, I mean, it would be nice. It's definitely better than having Tyronn Lue coach the All-Star game, who hasn't done anything.
Right.
I mean,
he's
going to have coached, what, 3-4 games by then, if that. So, yeah, I mean, it would be better to have Blatt, maybe a parting gift for his hard work. But I just don't see him doing it. I don't see him wanting to do it. I think he wants to distance himself from this bad situation that was the Cleveland Cavaliers' job. He was doomed from the start. He was set up to fail. It was definitely a weird experiment that I never understood from the get-go. And he had so much success with, you know, dealing with all these egos and the egos that, you know, still are on this team. So we'll see how Tyronn Lue deals with that, because he still had the Kevin Love situation. You know, he's a hit or miss. He hasn't been happy with how he's been used. So mm-hmm. I think Tyronn Lue was saying that they're going to kind of change the way they use him, put him on the elbow to play, just like they did in Minnesota. So we'll see, you know, if that changes and maybe helps out his game. But it's a mess over there. And to do this now in midseason, it's kind of questionable.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, man. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm just going to sit back. I'm not going to waste my time and energy. I'm just going to continue to make myself better, my life better. People that appreciate me, give thanks and praise to them and take care of them. And that's all, man. I'm not going to let this thing, sports, get in my way.
Yeah,
you know,
can't
just
control this stuff.
Try to find my own happiness. Because at the end of the day, LeBron's got $1 billion by Nike, so he ain't worried about nothing.
He doesn't care.
And yeah,
he doesn't care about your happiness.
No, he doesn't care about my happiness. So why should I? So that's the way I'm looking at it. So year and a new outlook on things. So gotta make ourselves happy, man. That's all that matters. That's it. That's all that matters. I'm not burning jerseys. I'll go on Twitter and I'll rant because these guys do pay attention to that stuff. I'll do that. I'm not gonna burn jerseys. I'm not gonna go on Twitter. I'm not gonna, you know, wish bad on people, their families and jobs, careers. I'm not gonna do all that. You know, I'm not gonna throw eggs at them when they're leaving the parking lot. I'm not gonna do all that. I'm just gonna make myself
happy.
Some
good eggs, man.
Protein.
Get some scrambled eggs and stuff, man.
That
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So don't go anywhere. Stick around. We'll come back 14 after. The hour of lock up shop. We'll talk about the Royal Rumble, what we liked, what we didn't like, and what to expect tonight. So coming up on 14 after the hour, Kenford Abrams Sports Talk Show, Kenford and Dave. Don't go anywhere, stick around. Back after this.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Yeah!
last night out there in Orlando. Kind of happy I went there because that football game was dreadful. Game number two was dreadful. Me and my buddy Jimmy went over there. I know Dave was watching and football at the same time. So, all in all, good show. Matches I think were solid. Owens and Ambrose, solid. Women's was solid. Charlotte and Becky, solid. Kalisto winning again. U.S. title changing hands three times in 3 weeks versus Del Rio. And then, so pretty solid. New Day retaining. Awesome match. So I think those matches were pretty solid. And welcome back, Dave. Your take on those matches, those four matches. I thought they were pretty solid. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. The Divas match was okay to me. Not too bad. Definitely loved Owens and Ambrose. We've been saying that we wanted them to bring it because those are two top guys in the company. And man, that was that's the way you start the Royal Rumble. That was incredible. And I was kind of worried. I was like, I hope these guys could top this because, yeah. Man, I was at the edge of my seat watching that. I'm sure you were too. That was crazy.
How funny was
match.
That? But man, Kofi does these things every year, right? So we're thinking, Kofi. I'm like, what? Dude, I know your reaction. I know you were probably out of your mind when that spot happened last night. What was your reaction to that spot?
Oh, I was dying. I was absolutely dying. I was waiting for it too, because we always know the Kofi thing in the Royal Rumble. He always does something. So I was waiting for it. When I saw New Day come down, I was like, okay, maybe he gets thrown out and Big E like catches him and throws him back in. But yeah. when he did that and just carried him around the, and then he's drinking. He gets a drink from
Pepsi,
a fan. He's eating popcorn. Oh, my God.
That was something else, man.
Those guys are unbelievable.
How about that Big E spot catching one of the Usos in the top rope? And
That was awesome. How awesome was that? That was unbelievable. That guy is so unbelievably strong. It's insane. What this guy could do. He's a big power lifter too, so it seemed he made it look so easy. I was just
that was unbelievable. How about Francesca too? How about that?
Yeah. They're moving on. You can only mourn for so much. And it looks like an upgrade too.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like an upgrade. It's definitely a little nicer. I know Francesca took a beating. Got thrown at Kalisto at TLC. It's been beat up on numerous occasions. So it was a rough life for Francesca 1. But Francesca 2 looks good. I know the whole crowd was asking him to play it, and he's like, nah.
I'm not playing for you guys.
I play when I want to play.
On. Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, that's funny. He's hilarious. Too much, man. They're fantastic. They're really fantastic. So you had that. You had Braun Strowman being pushed last night, huh? Who would have thought? I'm like, here we go. This is like the big guy. Braun being pushed. Whole Taker thing, we kind of saw that coming, right? Him being thrown by the Wyatts. Kind of saw that coming.
Yep. Man, he's a monster, that guy. That guy's another one of those guys that are just monsters. So strong. That guy is huge. I haven't seen him live yet, so... I can only imagine like how big he is, like looking in the ring on TV. He just looked like an absolute beast, and he was dominant, man. I was watching that Brock hit him hard.
Oh, that clothesline! Oh, that was legit.
If you saw it on TV, he legit hit him like almost punched him to get him down.
Yeah,
Brock was dishing out some stiff ones out there, man. That guy is...
I felt cringe. I was cringing, man. Like, good Lord. Those suplexes? From one
pillar
to the
other? Yeah, he does not care. He does not care about anybody in that ring. He really does only care about himself because he was throwing those guys the way he was hitting them. Very stiff shots. And you could see, I was just, wow. I'm like, that's a UFC heavyweight champion. You don't want to get hit by that guy.
Then we had your boy, AJ Styles, AJ Stizzles, right? That was fun coming out.
Yeah, that was nice.
He was home in his backyard in Orlando, Florida, right? He's home.
Yeah, that was excellent just to have him out there in the third spot, just to give him time to be out there. And he had a good showing.
got beat up there by a lot of guys, but he was looking good. And
how
I
about
think
the fact they were teasing the Styles Clash on numerous occasions, right?
Yeah, yep, yep. I think it's a fantastic signing. I think he's going to add so much to this. He's going to have a great match. I think I was looking at, maybe Kevin Owens. Yeah. I was hoping, maybe that can start. But Sami Zayn. Oh, God. I was not happy he was the NXT representative.
Jimmy likes him. I just don't like the guy.
He's a donk.
I'm on the fence with him right now. I'm really on the fence with him. People love him, but I'm on the fence with him.
Yeah,
I think he's very talented, but I'm like,
he's very talented. He's very talented. I think his character is corny. I think it's just kind of one of those things.
Yeah. And then you have these donks, the League of Nations minus Wade Barrett. Where the heck's Wade Barrett and League? And you have the League of Nations coming out there and doing a number on Roman Reigns. Where was Wade Barrett last night?
I think he's worried. I think he's trying to get his army together because he saw my picture with my crown that I'm taking over the kingdom. But it's horrible. They put these. They just slapped that together. This League of Nations, which I think is a joke. I think it's horrible what they did. It's almost like they don't know what to do with Rusev. They don't know what to do with Del Rio, Shane, and all those guys. So they're like, let's just lump them together and make a faction and see how that goes. Instead of doing individuals with Barrett, giving him a push. He's a great wrestler, too. And I feel like he's being wasted. Rusev being wasted there. That splash, though, on that table.
Cool. Oh, that was something else. I mean, by the way, you mentioned a good point of Rusev, too. I think you've been cheating on my notes all day. But anyway, Rusev, the guy was like, the last one to be eliminated last year, second to last year? Now he's the first? So what does that tell you about creative and WWE direction on Rusev, man? Sad.
Yeah, he was undefeated, too, for how long? His first loss
just
was
about
at
a
WrestleMania
year.
To John Cena.
Yeah. Right.
And they just kind of gave up. It's unbelievable. It was nice to see that Lana came out with him for a second.
Right.
Last night, but... Man, they just—I don't know. There's no consistency. It's just kind of let's give this a try for a week, and if it doesn't work right away, we'll just scrap it and do something completely opposite of what we just did.
Yeah.
So it looks sloppy. There's no consistency. You don't know what to expect. Monday Night Raw. Who knows? Maybe Rusev's the face. It's just—it's unbelievable.
Unbelievable stuff. So yeah, Triple H coming out there. Good for Triple H though, right? I mean, they kind of needed this, right? I'm not sure we can do with Roman right now, right? Is he? I would just tell him, Jimmy, make the guy a heel. Dallas want to boo him. You guys don't like him. Make him a heel. Make Triple H a face then going into this match. Because I think somewhere, somehow, Roman Reigns is going to face Triple H at WrestleMania. So why just make him a heel then?
I mean, that would be the way to go.
I'll still like him. I know you're going to still like him.
Yeah, I like him. I just hate how they make him... It's almost like they make him defy all odds all the time. They're having him go into 4-on-1 matches and winning them every time. Yeah. It's just like kind of ridiculous. It's like
they're
calling
him too much. They're babying him a whole lot.
Yeah, and it's like the Cena stuff. It's like that's not pushing him. That's making him look ridiculous, and that's what the fans don't like. The hardcore fans don't like superheroes. We're here for wrestlers, We have Super Cena to deal with, and that's enough. The guy doesn't sell a move and kicks out of 14 finishers. We don't need that. We don't need part two of that. And that's what they're doing. They put him at the number one spot. I even said my original pick was for him to win it from that number one spot and just eliminate everyone, defy all the odds, and just continue the birth of Super Roman was what I was saying. And I think that's the issue. That's the main issue with Roman. So I think maybe either a heel turn or just – you got to make him likable, have him struggle, and not always succeed.
Have him chase stuff. Maybe he's better off chasing the title now, chasing it.
Yeah. And what does that say about your other talent when you have four guys against him and he's constantly beating you, like the League of Nations versus Roman Reigns on SmackDown and Roman Reigns kicks their butt, what does that say about Sheamus, Barrett, Rusev, Del Rio? You just lost to one guy, it doesn't make sense.
That's annoying. Then you had Triple H winning. You got a problem with Triple H winning. And how about Dean Ambrose? Dean Ambrose finally getting a push, right? Triple H taking out Dean Ambrose.
Man.
And then it was just like a lot of Dean chants, man. So that was good to see Dean Ambrose finally getting some kind of enjoyment from his hard work since he
They could have done it a little better. It would have been more exciting at this point.
A little more time.
If he lost the Intercontinental belt.
And
was in that situation. Yeah, because I was just like, there's no way they're going to make him champion and Intercontinental champion. I'm like, that's just ridiculous. So, yeah, it would have been cool if, you know, maybe KO beat him in the match before and took the belt. You know, it didn't have to be a long reign. Maybe Dean gets it back on Monday. Yeah. But just to have them one-on-one and have that last a little longer, that would have been cool.
Cool to see. Yeah.
But, yeah, when Roman – I gasped when I saw Roman get eliminated. I was like, I was in shock. I couldn't believe it. It was that quick because I thought, you know, you think about it. It's going to come down to those two guys, Roman.
Well, yeah. I didn't see Dean being in there that long, but he lasted. Took some shots from Brock, but he lasted, did his thing.
And that was after that last man standing match too.
I was shocked that
they both came out. I was like,
alive.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, those spots were ridiculous.
Yeah.
So have to go to Triple H, right? 14-time champ.
14 times
was best for business, I think, that night. Yesterday, last night, made a whole lot of sense. We'll see what they do tonight. By the way, breaking news, Dave. Rumors are running rampant that a major star returns to Raw tonight on the road to WrestleMania. 1,400 retweets, 1,500 likes. Who could this be? Top five. I was telling Jimmy's broke this news to me on Twitter. It could be Rock. It could be Daniel Bryan, Taker. Who else could it possibly bring tonight on Raw that they held back last night? I was hoping to see.
Now, was this news from WWE or just like a rumor site?
The WWE Twitter account.
Wow.
Huh. So it's major. Major, right?
That's exciting.
By the way, don't tell me because I'm gonna be out of dinner, so don't tell me.
No. Yeah, I got you. I'll keep it on watch.
I'll get off my phone too, so I wouldn't be able to see who it is.
Don't go on social media, dude.
No, I'm gonna take off my
stay away.
I'm taking off my notifications tonight. Do not disturb.
Yeah.
So who do you think that? Who could give me a top five, top of your head? Who it could possibly be?
You were right. I think Taker for sure. You know, think of WrestleMania. You always have to have that Taker match.
Yep.
Wow. I guess, you know, Rock was rumored to be there, but, I mean, what's he going to do? There was really no he's not going to wrestle, I heard. So he's doing a movie, unless that's kind of to throw us off. I think Rock would be kind of like a surprise thing, if anything. So I don't know about tonight. Wow. Who could be coming back?
I don't know.
Major star. I'm stumped on this one.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Bryan could be Goldberg.
Once again, Daniel Bryan was cleared by another doctor.
Not WWE.
So he's good to go. But then I'm also hearing rumors about him possibly being released soon, which I don't see happening. There's no way that they can release that big ticket. But that's exciting. I think tonight could be an epic Raw. I just know if you have AJ Styles there. Debut AJ Styles with maybe Nakamura. You know, you got those guys too.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of Bullet Club. That would be awesome to do. Have AJ debut with a match.
Mm-hmm.
And this potential. You got to have Sasha out there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Have a nice Sasha match. Maybe have Charlotte come out and, you know, try and interfere or something.
Yeah.
Get that feud going.
Tonight's Raw could be epic.
It could be. There's possibilities. You know, it's definitely has a lot of potential, and that's fun. Okay. But, you know, I always say, but WWE
creators
mess it up, you know.
Exactly.
They always throw away that momentum.
Yeah. So it's a wait and see. Who's who? I'm not mad I didn't make the trip down to Miami. Probably could have went down there. But, like, you know, I'm just – I'd rather stay home and watch it. I mean, I'm going to enjoy Orlando. You know what I mean? I'm going to enjoy
Orlando.
Yeah,
it's a lot, man. It's a lot. Especially it's going to be crazy in Dallas. Dallas, and then, you know, that's a full week of wrestling and all that. So it's kind of a lot. And then the Prudential Center is Payback in May. I just found out about that. So I'm going to be looking out for tickets for that one since it's right there. Not much of a traveling thing, so gonna keep an eye out on tickets. They go on sale in February, so
we gotta
nice.
See. We gotta see what goes on.
Yeah,
tonight
should be fun. It should be fun. Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to it now. Now that you said that, I didn't hear any rumors.
Yeah, I just got the word from Jimmy in my ear. So he said go on to WWE Twitter. He showed me the tweet. So just text me tonight. Just say epic or
all
something
right.
really good.
I'll give you thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah. just do that. So, Raw should be good. You got Raw. You got the Golden State. I'm sure we're going to be tweeting and texting with that stuff late night tonight.
Yeah,
about
I can't wait to see that game. I'm going to be
Warriors
definitely
and Raw. Should be good. And I'm just going to go take a shower right now and head out downtown Orlando, some dinner, some food. Just relax, man. Just, you know, take it easy.
Yeah, enjoy it.
So
it's good that it's warm there again, man. Oh my God.
Definitely.
Stephanie was saying that it was 40 something.
Yeah, I was about almost 40. Yeah, last night she said that.
Man.
Yeah.
That's
like,
crazy.
This is great. This is not that bad for me. I'm just like, oh, this is a blessing because I've seen worse, especially being in Cleveland. Oh, talking about 15. You know, talking about the weather so cold to your bone. New York is not bad. I mean, if you could handle New York weather, you can handle any damn thing. I think.
That's true. That's
definitely
true. I was up in Oneonta, I was dealing with -15 on the daily. So that's what I say when I'm out here in this cold. 32 degrees is like 60 to me. Like, I feel great.
Not that bad. All right, brother. So it's been a pleasure bringing the show to you guys again. I'll let you know when my equipment comes in. I'll say some picks, and then we could work on getting some guests for Super Bowl week next week. If I don't decide to go into San Francisco, which I'm itching to go to San Francisco nowadays because my brother said I can stay at his place out there. And I got some friends out there I want to see. But then again, like, I did San Francisco. I did San Francisco last year, you know, so it's kind of like, I might just hot dog it, just relax. People say I don't do much. So I'm proving once again, proving doubt is wrong. I'm just dabbing on them. That's all I could do. That's it. The haters are funny. The donks are funny. Internet wins again. The Jordan memes are ridiculous again.
Yep, champs.
I was
waiting for him to. I was waiting for him to do it when he was at the game. I almost died. They showed him. They panned off and showed him in one of the owner's boxes, and he's watching the. I started dying.
Boy.
He's there to do it live. Man. The crying face for the Cardinals live.
Unbelievable. Well, we'll keep in touch. And,
yes, sir.
And that's all we can do. So, you know, try to enjoy life, man. Try to make the best out of it. So you have a good one. The listeners have a good one as well. Don't drink and drive. Call Uber. Call a taxi. Give somebody else your keys. Learn from BY.
He could be the spokesman of this. Maybe he'll get a job with Uber. He'll be their spokesman. But we'll see. man, enjoy the rest.
Definitely.
Enjoy the rest of your trip there, man. When are you getting back?
I get back Wednesday night, and back to work Thursday. And we'll chat before then, for sure.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Yeah, man, so enjoy tonight, dude. I'll give you a thumbs up, thumbs down, and I'm sure we'll be talking.
Yeah, definitely, man. Have a good one, guys. Don't drink and drive. Call Uber. And just enjoy sports, man. Sports isn't life or death. Just enjoy it, man. Don't tweet things to players and their families and wish harm and foul things. It's end of the day, we want to go home to our families. They want to go home to theirs. Not because they make millions of dollars. You know, you got to be that cruel to them. They're, at the end of the day, they are human beings, and it's just a game.
We're all human.
You know?
So,
we're all human, man. So enjoy life. Try to make the most out of everything. And just appreciate those that appreciate you, man. That's all I got today. And have a good one, Dave. And see you when I get back. Thanks. And we'll keep in touch. Kev Freeman Sports Talk Show.
Sounds good.
We're out.
on?
The first word that comes to mind is present.
What made him so good is just his confidence.
I am the game!
When Triple H is in the ring, you're captivated by him.
At the close of the 90s, Triple H had ascended to the top of the WWE. And just 3 days into the new decade, Triple H was again champion.
Triple H is the new World Wrestling Federation champion, and what a hell of a way to start off the new millennium.
Alongside his wife Stephanie, the game ushered in the McMahon-Helmsley era. And together, the billion-dollar couple ruled over WWE with an iron fist.
There they are, Mr. and Mrs. McMahon-Helmsley. Not a very popular pair, to say the very least.
His impressive run at the top would be cut short after a devastating quad injury. But after only 8 months, Triple H triumphantly returned to win the 2002 Royal Rumble.
Triple H has returned from a career-threatening injury to win the Royal Rumble!
And went on to win the Undisputed Championship at WrestleMania 18.
He got his body right, his ability to speak, his ability to carry himself like a champion.
Look at the strength of Triple H. He says he's that damn good.
I've got the body. I've got the ability. I've got the talent. And I've got the brain.
Triple H was a huge star because of his passion. Not many people had as much passion as Triple H.
Today marks the beginning of a new era. And what you see in this ring before you is the greatest example of evolution you will ever see.
The Cerebral Assassin held onto his title by assembling an elite band of superstars known as Evolution.
We have all the gold, so we make all the rules.
A powerful group that redefined the future of WWE.
The list of people that Triple H gets to step up and gets 110% on them is a mile long. I think that's his biggest asset.
Evolution has just passed you by.
When he goes out there, you know that somebody's in trouble. He's out there, he's all business. But at the same time, he can make you laugh.
Are you ready? No, I said he
in 2006, the WWE Universe witnessed the return of one of the most controversial duos in history.
DX is back!
We are the Heartbreak Kids, Shawn Michaels, The Game, Triple H. We are D-Generation X!
He's funny. You know, when Triple H would talk, he would say funny things and things that were like, I don't think he's supposed to say that.
D-Generation X brought me a rooster. The implication being... that I love.
Boy, these guys didn't just push the envelope. They ripped the envelope open and all sorts of attitude jumped out.
The King of Kings lived up to his name throughout the new millennium, conquering all challengers and reigning over WWE.
With me, there is no hype necessary.
When Triple H walks through the curtain, the whole building feels it. It's an amazing thing to watch from afar.
There is not a person on the face of God's green earth that can do what I do in this ring better than me.
When he says he's the game, he has studied it. He has perfected it. He knows how to tell stories like no one else can.
He is the game. He is Triple H.
There's no more determined, no more focused athlete in the entire WWE
They call him the cerebral assassin for a reason. His brain encompasses sports entertainment like no other. He knows it, he feels it, he breathes it, he thinks it, he is the game.
And I am that damn good!